Okay, we're starting here from the Mishnah on Chav Hei Amun Aleph. The Mishnah begins, HaMakdish Sadeh U B'Shat HaYovel. Person who is Makdish is Steach Uzah at the time of the Yovel. As Rashi points out, meaning at the time of the Yovel, means that there'll be a time when it's not the Yovel. So Rashi says, B'Zman She'en Yovel Noheg. But, B'Zman She'en Yovel Noheg, if it's at a time period when there is no Yovel, Pudeh Oto B'Shovyah K'Sharik Deshot. Then it gets a regular din of Ekdesh, which you redeem at its true value. So this din of notain bezera chomer sorim 50 shekel kesef, that is only true when the yovel is noheg. The yovel is not noheg, then it goes back, or reverts back to being a regular field that you redeem at its true value. At the time that the yovel is noheg, notain bezera chomer sorim 50 shekel kesef. They give the fixed price that is paid for esteach uzah, 50 shekel for every Beit zera that can be planted with a chomer seorim. So ayusham nikaim amukim. If there's deep ditches or pits in the field that are deep as a ten tvachim, oslaim givoim, or there are ridges that are ten tvachim, asarat tvachim, einan nimdanim ima. They're not counted along with the field, meaning, as Rashi says, vehi nifdim mishovyam. They're assessed independently at their true value, because they're not qualified to be a part of fixed price that you'd pay for such a field. Pachot migan, if they're less than 10 tvachim, nimdadim ima, and they are counted or measured along with the regular field as if it was flat. Disha shtayim shloshanim lifnei yovel, v'iz makdisha 2 or 3 years before the yovel, notain selo pundion lishana. This is what we discussed yesterday. Pay shekel plus a pundion for every year until the yovel. Vimamar areini notein dvar shana bishana. I'm going to pay in installment payments. Every year, I'll pay a shekel pundion in shomim lo. We don't listen to him. Ela notein et kulo keechad. Got to pay it in one shot. You don't get these installment payments. Echad balim veechad kol adam. Whether it's the owners of the field or whether it's a third party, either one of them redeems it at this value of a selo pundion for every year. Ma ben balim lechol adam. What's the difference between the owners and any other person? Lishbalim notim chomesh. Chol adam ain notim chomesh. The owners give a fifth more. Spoken about this, this is a chomesh milabar, which really a quarter of the rate in addition to the base that he's going to pay. Chol adam ain notim chomesh. And any other person that redeems it only pays for the core value, which is the shekel upundion lishana. Right, Tana, kur zera velo kur tvua. In the Torah, when it says, based on a zera chomer seorim, 50 shekel kesef, we said that that's what we call a beit kur. A beit kur, which is 30 sa'ah. What are we speaking about? There's two ways to look at that. The one is to look at the number or the amount, the volume of seed that you plant in that area, or the volume of harvest that you get from that area. But how do we determine this kur? Is that beit kur determined by the zera, the seed? Or is it determined by the tuah, the output? So that's what we have here. The Tana says, we have a braita that says, kur zera, that is determined by a kur worth of seeding, velo kur tuah, not a kur worth of production. Mapolet yad, velo mapolet shvarim. It's being seeded by hand, not by the oxen. And Tana Levi adds in addition to that, lo me'uva, velo me'dak, elabonuni. Not muva means a heavily seeded area. Omedak means a lightly seeded area. Eloberoni, a regular area that you seed. We look at the field. We want to determine what a beit kur is. A beit kur is based on the zera. Beit kur worth of seed. 30 sa'ah worth of seed. What is the area that's covered by that type of seeding? Again, it's hand seeding, not machine seeded. They're machine seeded meant with shvarim. And also that it's seeded in a normal fashion, not an area that's heavily seeded or lightly seeded. That's what we call a beit kur, or 75,000 square amot. Yusham nikaim amukim. So the Gemara says, v'likachu banfei nafshayu. Why don't they just become kodesh by themselves? V'chitei ma kevin to have a beit kur lo v'likachu. Maybe because they don't reach the level of a beit kur. You mean you need a minimum of a beit kur to become kadosh? Atanya, we have a braita. So de matamolomar. Fishinamar, because it says zera chomer sorim 50 shekel kesef. Ain ele shikdish kinyan hazeh. That's only if he was makdish at least that minimum amount. Minayin rabot letech. Letech being a chatzi kur. V'chatzi letech. Half a letech, which is a quarter of a kur. Sa'ah. A single sa'ah. Tarkav is a half sa'ah. It's three kav or a half sa'ah. V'chartzi tarkav, a quarter sa'ah. Tamalomar, sadeh mikol makom. No matter what the size of what he is, makdish, that qualifies in terms of being kadosh for this calculation. You'll just prorate the size of the field based on its relationship to a beit kor. So Amar Maruk v'bachama, hacha b'nikayim mle'im mayim, t'lav b'nei zriya ninhu. The reason that we can't count these nikayim, even by themselves, forget about with the field, but even by themselves we can't count them, is because they are filled with water. T'lav b'nei zriya ninhu, since they're not plantable, you can't assess them based on the rate of a beit kor of zera. So dekanami diktani dumya dislaim. The other side of that picture was we had ditches or ridges, and so the ridges are slaim. Sela is bedrock, is unplantable area. So too the nikaim that are compared to the slaim is also an unplantable area, which just means that it was filled with water. Shmamina. Where it says yochi pachot mikam nami. So if that's the case, even less than 10 tfachim, how can we count them? If it's unplantable area, whether it's bedrock or it's now some sort of ditch with water in it, even if it's less than 10 tfachim, why should it count along with the field? So where it says, Hanu, nag'ane dahara mikru. Those are the clefts of the earth or the water holes of the earth. And shidre dahara mikre, or the spines of the earth. And those are considered to be a part of the natural topography that is still considered to be quote-unquote flat, and therefore they'll be included with the field, even though maybe they have some water in them, even though they're not plantable, but that's a natural course. You don't expect to get land that is absolutely flat with no movement in it. You know, these are slight ups and downs. Those are fine. When it comes to be very deep or very high already, that distinguishes or comes almost something that's totally distinct from the field itself. And therefore, if you makdish them, you have to assess them separately based on their true value, whatever that value would be, accepted from the calculation of beit kor zerach omer seorim. Tana rabbanan v'nigrami arkecha. So you reduce the value by the number of years that have transpired, have passed by until the yovel. So af min hekdesh. Even the years that it sits in the hands of hekdesh count. Shemachla hekdesh shana shtaim. If hekdesh had used it, the field for a year or two, inami lo achla, or it sat in the hands of Ekdesh, they did nothing with it, el shayta lefanav, but it was with them, notain selo pundion l'shana. You pay a selo pundion for the number of the years that remain. It doesn't matter to us what happens to the field between the time he's makdish it and the time that he's goelit, the time that he redeems it. The only thing that we want to know is how many years are left to the yovel, and based on that, he will pay a shekel pundion for each year that remains until the yovel. Tanu Rabbanan, minayin shamru balim, areini nutnim davar shana bishana. We're going to give, we're going to pay on an installment basis year by year. In shomim lahem, we don't listen to them. Tamar lomar, b'kishav lo hakohen et hakesef. The kohen makes the calculation. Ajei kesef kulo keachad. So you give the whole payment at once. Calculation is made at once, and you got to pay it at once.
What do you want to do? Donate it in year 17.
It could be that he's taking the whole field back and then he's paying on an installment basis. It could be that also. It's not clear what his position is. All we know is that he's not paying at once. That could be that he takes the whole field now and he wants to pay in installments, or each year he wants to give a selo pundion as the years go by. Echad balim v'echad kol adam. The owners and any other third party have the same din. Ma ben balim l'chol adam, shabalim notim chomesh. The balim add on a chomesh to the shekel pundion. They add on an additional 25%. Anybody else who redeems the field doesn't have to add that additional 25%. Okay, next Mishnah. Igdisha v'gala ena yotza miyodo. If he was magdishit and he redeems it, it doesn't leave his hands biyovel. Tis. Gala b'no. If his son redeems it, yotza le'aviv biyovel. So then it goes back to his father in the yovel. Gala acher. Someone else, a third party, redeemed the field. Oh, echad me'akrovim, v'galah miyado. And then the owner, the original owner, redeems it from them. Yutza the kohenim biyovel. Goes out to the kohenim in the yovel, because once it was redeemed by a third party, it no longer was his. And even if he redeems it from those relatives or that third party, he has a leasehold on the property. He's no longer an owner of the property. Galah echad me'na kohenim. If one of the kohenim was the buyer of the field, v'arehi takat yado, and it's under his hand, lo yomar, should not say, oh, be yatsa the kohenim, be yovel. What's going to happen to this field on the yovel? It's going to go also distributed to the kohenim. Hare takad yadi. I already have it, and I'm a kohen. Hare hishali. I'll just keep it. He can't just keep it for himself. He has to send it back into the pot and get divided up amongst all the kohanim. It's not his in particular to keep. So the pasuk says, "Vim lo yigal et asadeh, vim machar et asadeh leish acher, lo yigael od." It will not be redeemed anymore. Vim lo yigal et asadeh balim. That's referring to the owners. Vim machar et asadeh. That's the gizbar. That's the treasurer. Leish acher. To another party, to a third party. Acher velo leben. To another party and not to this son. Tamer lo acher velo leben. O'enu elo acher velo lach. Maybe it means to a third party and not his brother. Shomer ish. When it says that it's sold to a ish, et asadeh ish acher, hari ach, amur. The brother's already included in the ish acher. Sahama eni mekeim, acher velo ben. Therefore I read acher to exclude the son. So basically what the Gemara is saying is I have one riboy and one miut. A riboy is that it has to be ish acher. Acher being a third party, someone foreign to this individual, not someone who is close to him. Who's that person that's close to him? His son. On the other hand, it says the ish. The ish comes to tell you that anybody else is problematic. And we say we include from that the ach, the brother. Even though he's close to him, still considers to be a third party. So now the Gemara wants to know, how did you know to include the son? And to exclude the brother from being someone who is close to him. So, Marita Rabota Taben or the Tziatach. Rabbi Ani at a ben, Chikin Kamtach Raviv, the Ida or the Epid Ivri. Because the son has priority with regards to the father. His connection to the father is closer in these two areas. Yehud is, if the father had purchased an Amah Ivriya, he has a choice of continuing to utilize her as an Amah Ivriya, or can use the money as Kesef Kiddushim in order to marry this woman. The additional option he has with this Ama Ivriya is that his son marries this Ama Ivriya, and his son can marry it based on the monies that his father paid to her up front, those monies that are Kesef Kiddushim, even for the son. So the son or the father can marry this Ama Ivriya, so the son can step into the shoes of the father in terms of marrying this Ama Ivriya. I'm just giving the simplistic explanation of it. Machloket that we've seen before about Ama Ivriya is if the Kedushin is from the Kesef that he paid originally or from the forgiveness of the remainder of her work period there, but I'm just giving the most simplistic understanding of it. Ule Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is owned by the father. If the father passes away, the son can step into his shoes to be the Adon, the master of this Eved Ivri. Otherwise, the Eved Ivri goes free. If the father passed away and there's no son there, the Eved Ivri goes free. So those two items, the son steps into the shoes of the father. And it says that the rabbi, the brother steps into the father's shoes, meaning his brother's shoes, in terms of Yibum. The son can't do that. And it says, wait a minute. Chum yesh yibum ele makom shein ben. Yibum only applies when there's no son. Hayesh ben ein yibum. If there's a son, there's no yibum. So it's clear that the son is the area of priority. We want to know that there is a son. If there's a son, the ach is out. Since when there's a son, the ach is out, yibum doesn't really count as being a priority towards the ach over the ben. No, the ach doesn't step in that case. It's not that we look at it on a subjective basis. An ach is excluded, brother in general. We just say, brother in general is excluded. Here we're trying to determine who is more likely to be the replacer of the father, or brother at that point. We say the son has many more items where he replaces the father than where the brother replaces his brother. Why do you have to use that logic? Just say there's two here and one here. Two is Yidah and Eved Ivri for the son, one Yibum for the brother, so he wins, 2-1. Shom, Eved Ivri, Mehai Pircha Nami. Who? But Eved Ivri, we don't know that it's the son and not the brother. So we learn it out in Afkalei from this Kavachomer. Klum Yeshibum of Makum Shein Ben. The reason that the son is the one who becomes the master of the Eved Ivri and not the brother is for exactly this logic, which is that the son is closer to the father because he has priority in terms of determining whether there is Yibum or not. If there's a son, there is no Yibum. No son, there is Yibum, and that's the ach's closeness to the brother, but it's only in the absence of a son. Tosafot asks, what about Nachala? In terms of inheritance. The son takes precedence over the brother in terms of inheritance. How come that's not mentioned here? Tosafot says they only wanted to pick items where it was exclusively the son and not the brother. That's not true by Nachala. By Nachala, the son inherits. If there's no son, the brother inherits. So that's not something that's exclusive to the son that the brother has no sheikhut to. According to that, by Eben Ivri, the psukim are not clear to us as to which relative will take over the father's shoes by Eben Ivri. We don't know if it should be the son or the brother who will take over his position in terms of being the Adon of the Eben Ivri. The Gemara there says, I'll tell you, it's the son and not the brother. How do I know it's the son and not the brother? Because the son has precedence over the brother. When it comes to Yibum, yes, the brother is closer to the other brother, his father, because he will step in to perform Yibum, but that's only true if there is no son. If there is a son, there is no Yibum. So the brother's relationship to his brother is subordinate to the son. If there is a son, there is no relationship of Yibum. If there is no son, then there is that relationship. So since the son is the determining factor of whether there is such a relationship, he has precedence or priority over the brother. That precedence or priority makes him the one that we pick to be the owner of the Eved Ivri and not the brother. So now we have Yehuda versus Yibum, and that's one against one, and then we say, well, no. The logic by Yibum is that the brother only gets there because the son is absent. So that proves that the son is really the primary figure here, and the brother is only a secondary wall of defense. He's only after the son is not there. And that's true by Yibum, it's true by Eved Ivri as well. It's the same logic by both of them. Boy, Rabba Barbua, Bat, Mahu, Shutamid, Sadeh, Le'aviyah. What happens if a daughter purchases the field? Does that go back to the father in the Yovel? Since when it comes to Yibum, we're indifferent between whether it's a son or a daughter, because they're poter from Yibum, mukma. Therefore we'll say yes, that she will give it back to the father in the Yovel. Odilma. When it comes to inheritance, a daughter in the face of a son, she's as if she's an outside party. Lo mukma, she won't return it to her father in the Yovel, and it'll go out to the Kohenim. Tashma, the Tanabe Rabbi Shmuel, Koshu Acher, B'makom Ben, anybody who's considered to be a third party in the face of a son, Anami B'makom Ben, Kacher Damia, and so too, this daughter is an Acher in the face of a son. So both of them, brother and daughter, are considered to be third parties in the face of a son who's there. In the face of the son, the brother has no relevance. In the face of the son, the daughter has no relevance. So since neither of them have relevance in the face of the son, they're considered to be like third parties. And either one of them, the brother or the daughter who redeems that land or that field, it will go out to the Kohanim in the Yovel and not return to the father, the original owner.
Doesn't the father say the daughter, or the act say the daughter gives back to the father?
That's like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, even if the father redeems it from the third party, it's just a leasehold that he has on the property. He's been knocked out. His position's been knocked out. Once it's been redeemed by a third party, he's out of the picture. He becomes like any other person towards the field. By Rabbi Zera, Isha Mima Midla Sadeh. It comes to a woman who is the equivalent of a ben to a father. The son is the relative of the father who, if he redeems it, it goes back to the father. A woman, who has that standing? Is it the Baal, the husband? Mukbingla, he's the one who would return it to the wife. If he redeemed on her behalf her nixay malug, then he would be the one who gives it back to her in the Ovel, Shekin Yosha, because he inherits her. He is the inheritor of his wife's nixay malug. Therefore, when he redeems it, it's as if a son is redeeming for a father. Or, Ikedamre, Ben. It's a son because Mukbingla, Shekin Notel Beroika Mukzak. The son's relationship with his mother is even closer, because yes, the father will inherit the woman, even in the face of a son, but nevertheless, the father's inheritance or power of inheritance is limited to that which is present at the time that his wife passes away. On the other hand, the son is entitled to any Yerusha that his mother gets, whether it's present at the time of his mother's death or even after the fact. If his mother would inherit from the grandfather after her death, he would still be able to take that property, which is not true of the Baal, not true of the husband. So a woman who passes away, say she's an only child, her father is still alive when she passes away, then at that point in time, the husband would inherit whatever his wife has presently. But eventually when her father passes away, the husband will get none of that. It'll go to the husband's relatives, not to him. On the other hand, if the child is there, if there is a son there, then the grandfather's property would pass to the son because his mother was re'uyah to inherit, and therefore he would get ve'roika mukzak. So the son's power of inheritance is greater than the husband, the father. But the father has precedence. If the father's alive, he will get the yirsha before the son. So we don't know which one to go with. Is it the father or the husband here because he's the first line of inheritance? Or is it the son who has a more powerful claim on the inheritance? Mar says, Teiku, we don't know which one is the relative for the wife or mother that will return it to her in the Ovel and not go to the Kohenim. Someone is Magdisha within 2 years of the Ovel. Does it get distributed to the Kohenim? Question relates to what we learned yesterday, that if you're Magdisha within 2 years of the Yovel, you don't redeem it based on a shekel umpundion for a shana, but rather on its entire value. So if you read the Psukim say like this, V'machar ha-Yovel yagdish zadeu, v'shavlo ha-Kohen et ha-Ketzev al-pi ha-Shanim ha-Notarot, ad shnat ha-Yovel v'nir gira me'erkecha. When is there nigra me'erkecha? Only when you have Shanim ha-Notarot. You have at least 2 years that remain, then you have nigra me'erkecha. Then we have the Vim lo yigal et ha-Sadeh. If it's not redeemed, Vim achar et ha-Sadeh li-Shecher lo yigal od. Cannot be redeemed anymore. V'yah Sadeh b'tzei tov yovel kodesh la-Hashem. So maybe v'nigra me'erkecha is modifying everything that comes after it. Only when you redeem the field based on your own kesef will it exit to the Kohanim in the Yovel. Otherwise it will not exit to the Kohanim in the Yovel. So that's the question. He says, "By minei rami v'chamer rav chizlik disha pakol mishtei shanim lefnei Yovel ma'u sh'teitzei the Kohanim." Amalei ma'adatech. V'nigra me'erkecha v'yah Sadeh b'tzei tov yovel debat giron in the lav bat giron lo, that only something that is redeemed based on a shekel b'dion l'shana will go out to the Kohanim. Says Adarabba, the next pasuk, you skipped a couple pasukim in between. It says, Vim lo yigal et ha-sadeh, v'yasa et ha-sadeh b'tzei tov l'yovel. You have another pasuk in between, which is Vim lo yigal et ha-sadeh, v'mchar et ha-sadeh l'ish acher lo yigal ot. So over there, it sounds like if he didn't redeem the field, it doesn't matter. Whoever it is, that third party redeems the field, automatically it'll go out to the Kohanim in the Yovel. So the pasuk lo yigal is not modified by v'nigra me'erkecha. Since that's not modified by v'nigra me'erkecha, it'll make no difference. Doesn't matter when he's makdishit. If he's not the one who redeems the field, it will go to the Kohanim in the Yovel. Gala achad min ha-Kohanim, tan rabanan. The Kohen tia achuzato. So at the end it says, the end of the parsha of Sde Achuzah, it says, v'yasadeh b'tzito Yovel kodesh l'Hashem, k'steh acherem, the Kohen tia achuzato. Becomes the Kohen's achuzah. Tan rabanan, the Kohen tia achuzata matam alomar, minay l'sadeh shiyotze l'Kohanim b'Yovel, gala achad min ha-Kohanim, minay shol yomar, ho v'yotze l'Kohanim. Since it's going to go out to Kohanim anyway at the Yovel, I already own it, I should keep it. V'dinu, to Kal v'chomer. Shal acherim ani zocher. When it's other people's property, it gets distributed to me on the Yovel. Shal atzmi lo koshike. It's my own property, shouldn't I get it? Tamal omer achuzato. Achuzah shalo, ve'en zeh shalo. It's only if it's his achuzato that he gets it. But this is in his achuzah. Haketzad, how does it become his achuzah? Yutzei mitachet yado, mitchalechet hakim echav ha-Kohanim. Goes out to all the Kohanim. It's thrown into the pot, divided to all the Kohanim. Then it becomes his steh achuzah. This property that he redeemed, he's like any other person who redeems the property. He's a leaseholder in the property. He's not a owner of the property. He's a renter, a leaser of the property. Only once it becomes an achuzah, then it remains with him. How does it become an achuzah? When it's distributed to all of them after the Yovel. So since he's not classified as the owner of the property, he has to throw it into the pot to get distributed in order to attain that ownership. And that's why he doesn't keep it when it comes to the Yovel, but he has to give it back and have it distributed to all the Kohanim. Okay, next Mishnah. Higia Yovel velo nig'ala. So if it reaches the Yovel and it was not redeemed, Kohanim nichnasim letocha, nonim et damea divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We saw this previously. Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Kohanim go into it and they have to pay for it. They have to actually redeem the field. Shimon Omer nichnasim velo notnim. They go into the field and they get it for free. They don't get it, and they don't give any money for it. It's called this the field of Ritushim. Till you reach the second Yovel. It wasn't redeemed by the second Yovel. Until the third Yovel. The Olam ain't Kohanim nikdasim letocha ad shigalena acher. Keeps going like this forever. Until somebody redeems it. The right of the Kohanim to have it distributed to them in the Yovel is premised or
predicated
by the fact that someone has to redeem the field. And that's based on the Psukim. Psukim say, "Vim lo yigal et ha-sadeh, v'machar et ha-sadeh yishacher lo yigael od, then v'ayah sadeh v'tzei tov yovel, kodesh l'Hashem." Only then does it become kodesh l'Hashem to give to the Kohanim. Sagamar says, "My time with Rabbi Yehuda." What's the reasoning by Rabbi Yehuda that they have to pay to get the field? Gamar kodesh kodesh. Learns in Zereshava kodesh kodesh mi magdish bayit. from a person who's magdish a bayit, person who's magdish a house, malalan bidamim, just like by a house, you have to redeem it with money. Afkan bidamim. So to over here, you're gonna have to redeem it with money. Because it says by magdish bayit, magdish bayit kdim, ki magdish peito kodesh, says when he's magdish's house, kodesh, and bestir kuzak says, bitseito yovel kodesh lashem. So you're gonna have zir sheva kodesh kodesh, just like by a person who is magdish's house, he redeems it for money. So to over here, the Kohanim are getting the field, have to do it for money. That's the Pshita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, Gamar Kodesh Kodesh, Mekivsei Atzeret. He learns how to Gzer Shem Kodesh Kodesh from the Kivsei Atzeret, the Shlamim that are brought on Shavuot. Mala Alan Bechinam, just like over there, they get distributed the Kivsei Atzeret for free. Afkan Bechinam, so too over here, you get it for free, because by the Kivsei Atzeret it says, Kodesh Yiyu Lashem Lakoin. He uses the term Kodesh. So Gzer Shem of Kodesh Kodesh. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Nelef Mekivsei Atzeret. Why is Rabbi Yehuda learn the Gzer Shem of Kivsei Atzeret? Dan in kochei berakabayit, mi kochei berakabayit. We are done something that is a donation to Hekdesh from something else that is a donation to Hekdesh, not kivsei atzeret, which is dushata guf. Ben in dan mi kochei berakabayit, mi kochei mizbeach. Shimon ami nelef mi magdish bayit. So why doesn't Rabbi Shimon learn like Rabbi Yehuda that it's about a magdish bayit? Dan in davar shematana lekohanim, mi davar shematana lekohanim. Coming out, one item which is given or gifted to the Kohanim from Hashem, Steachuza, from another item which is gifted to the Kohanim, which is the Korban of the Kivsei Atzeret. I'm not going to learn out from something that is a gift to the Kohanim, which is the Steachuza here, from something that's not a gift to the Kohanim. Magdish Beito is not a gift to the Kohanim. He redeems it, and he gets it back. There is no gift to the Kohanim, so those aren't comparable cases. So each one of them has their reason to make the Gzera Shava work in their direction. Rabbi Yehuda says the Gzera Shava is from Bayit, because both of those are talking about Kodshei Bedeka Bayit. Rabbi Shimon says the Gzera Shava is Kivsei Atzeret, because both of those are gifts to the Kohanim. So I'm going to compare gifts to the Kohanim, and that's why I learned it out of Kivsei Atzeret. So each of them has their reason for their Gzera Shava. Rabbi Yehuda learning Gzera Shava from Bayit, meaning that you do have to redeem the field. Kohanim Mir will have to redeem the field in order to keep it. Shimon learns it out of Kivsei Atzeret, who says that you get it without any compensation. So to over here, we get the Steachuza without any compensation. We'll stop over here.